Please take your Bibles this evening as we turn to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. Lord willing, we have two more messages here in Daniel 12. And we will be finished with the book of Daniel. Kind of excited about this one tonight as we tackle the beginnings of Daniel chapter 12. And we're looking at the title of Nine Marks of Eschatological Discipleship. Nine Marks of Eschatological Discipleship. As we consider the end times, there are several things that we see in this chapter, in Daniel chapter 12, that will help us to live our lives better in this world right now, today. And so let us pray and ask God's help and direction. We'll read the text and dive in this evening. Father, thank you so much for bringing us back tonight. Thank you for these who've come and hungry souls and looking forward to what you have for us here in Daniel chapter 12. We ask that you would lead us here tonight. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill me right now. That's what I need. I need your filling so that we can do this right. And so I trust and depend upon you. I do not trust in myself or my flesh, but in you and your word. I ask that you might meet with us really in a special, special way tonight as we consider the end times, what is coming, how we should prepare, how we should live our lives in light of that. So we look forward to what you're going to do in our hearts and our lives this evening, and may it truly impact our life as we go forward to live for you in this new week. We ask all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Daniel chapter 12, I'll read the whole chapter. We'll not get through the whole chapter tonight, but it's good to have all of it in one shot. Daniel chapter 12, beginning in verse number 1, speaking about the great tribulation. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book, the Lamb's Book of Life. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and on the other side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth, and cometh to 1,335 days. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. The main idea in chapter 12 is this. In light of God's sovereignty and control over history and the promised return of Christ, God's people must pursue faithfulness and fruitfulness all the way to the end. So there's the goal. We don't quit, we go all the way to the end. By way of introduction to chapter 12, the Apostle John makes a wonderful declaration concerning our future in 1 John 3, verse 2, where he says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." What's his point? Future destiny impacts present discipleship. We must be concerned about our spiritual lives right now. Knowing what I will be someday should mold and shape how I live my life right now. This is what Daniel is telling us as he wraps up his book here in chapter 12. The fact of our future resurrected body, chapter 12, verse 2, provides motivation for discipleship in verse 3 and personal holiness in verse number 10. We'll finish the book of Daniel by looking at 9 marks of eschatological discipleship. Daniel 12 teaches us how to live as faithful exiles in a world that is not our home. And I wonder tonight, are you feeling that more and more, that this world is not your home? The way things are going in these days in which we are living, I'm thinking on that. It's like, you know, who needs this? We've got a lot better things coming for us as believers. So Daniel 12 teaches us how to live as faithful exiles. We need to see ourselves as faithful exiles in this world. This answers the question, how can we live as kingdom citizens and dedicated disciples in a land that is becoming more and more hostile and more strange towards us as believers? The vision that began in chapter 11, verse 2, continues through chapter 12, verse number 4. Verses 5 to 13 will bring everything to a conclusion. Even so, there is continuity through the whole chapter of 12. We hear a lot about the great country of China, the great big country of China today, and it's not good what we're hearing. It is not good, but what is interesting about China is that it is believed that in the next 10 years, it will be the most Christianized country on the face of the earth. I mean, people are getting saved in China right now. I mean, and they are doing horrible things to people in China. The Communist Party, what they're doing to those Uyghurs over there. And if you read anything about it, it's really bad what they're doing to those people. Now, they are not believing Christians, but they are being persecuted in an unbelievable way. And the Communist Party of China sees the worship of Jesus Christ and not them as a very dangerous thing. But as my mom used to always say, their view is wrong because the born-again Christian community are the best citizens that this world could ever want. When you really think about it, who are better citizens than those that know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and believe things like love your neighbor as yourself, be a blessing, do good to people, They don't understand that. They just hate Christ. And as a result of that, they hate you and me. So chapter 12 is a powerful finale to this guide on exile living. So let us begin to examine the nine marks of eschatological discipleship. And we'll look at the first four of nine this evening. So number one, the first mark of eschatological discipleship is be comforted by God's protection. Be comforted by God's protection. Verse number one. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. So be comforted by God's protection. Chapter 12 begins with, and at that time, which links chapter 12, verse 1, with chapter 11, 36 through 45, and the reign and the end of the Antichrist. When that eschatological day comes, God will raise up the warrior angel Michael. We found him back in chapter 10, verses 13 and 21 as well. He will be found in the book of Jude, verse 9, and he will be found in Revelation 12, 7 through 12. God is going to raise up the warrior angel Michael, who is identified here in Daniel 12 as the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. In Jude 9, Michael is called the archangel. I have a little Bible that my daughter Crystal got me when she was down at Bob Jones going through the college there. And Dr. Ian Paisley happened to be there during, I guess it was Bible conference. And he's now with the Lord, but that man could preach. And when we were there, he preached on the book of Jude. That's how he said it. He's from Northern Ireland, or however you say that. And so she went to him and said, "Would you sign this Bible?" And he said, "To Michael, not the archangel." He was a neat guy and big man. Did a lot of good for those folks over there in Northern Ireland. So Michael the archangel, Jude, verse 9, we find him, Revelation 12. So Michael is, as are all angels, ministering spirits, which are sent to help those who are going to inherit eternal salvation. That means in your life, at many points probably, they were there to help you through some sort of situation. And that is the gist of Hebrews 1:14. They are sent to help those who are going to inherit salvation. And so Michael the archangel, as well as all the other great angels of God, are out there. They might be in here tonight, that they're all over the place, and they are ministering on the behalf of us, the believers. And at this time in Daniel 12, Michael will intensify his involvement on behalf of the people of God, the Israelites. To Daniel and his readers, we see the righteous remnant of Israel. From this side of Pentecost, and with insights from Romans 11 and Ephesians chapter 3, we see the church, the eschatological community of the redeemed of all ages. And God takes a particular interest in his own people purchased with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. there are unseen numbers of angels standing behind the wobbly people of God in their darkest hour. The great general Stonewall Jackson had a belief that we all need to try and grab a hold of. General Stonewall Jackson in the Civil War fought for the South. What was maybe the greatest Christian on the South side. They had Bible preaching at night around the campfire, and the soldiers are getting one to Christ, and the next day they're going out and fighting, and they might be dead. And I just marvel at this ferocious general. I mean, he was, I would say he was crazy. I mean, it's hard for me to put together his love for Christ, his winning souls for Christ, and his wild battle, the way he did it, and the way he wanted to do it. And I've come to the conclusion after reading Chris Keller's book that he should have been the number one man in charge of the South, Stonewall Jackson. He wanted to take men and just raid into the North. He just wanted to flood over the lines of the states and go after them. And of course, he wasn't allowed to do that, but he wanted to do that. He was ferocious. Now, this is what he said, and this is what I want you to really try and get a hold of this tonight. He said this: "My religious belief teaches me to feel as safe in battle as in bed." Now, that's a big mouthful there, but there's more. All right, he goes on to say, "God has fixed the time for my death. I do not concern myself about that. But to be always ready, no matter when it may overtake me. That is the way all men should live, and then all would be equally brave." Now, I'll tell you what, that is some belief to live by. Was not concerned about the... And what I said before, you know, this belief, that's why he operated the way he did. He just understood God is in charge of this thing. He knew, well, you know, we might not win this war. We might not, but God's in charge. And so I don't worry about my death. He has appointed that time. And so we should be brave as we confront this world. I think... You know, I find a lot of comfort in that statement, in those several sentences that he said there. So be comforted and convinced of God's protection as you live for Him. So if we can get these thoughts sealed in our own hearts, it will greatly aid us in our life for the Lord Jesus Christ. God's angels are on your side. They're not against us. They are for us. God's angels, they're on our side, your side, and they're busy. They're busy at work on the behalf of God's people right now. The second mark of eschatological discipleship is be ready for trouble and intense persecution. Be ready for trouble and intense persecution. We get this from verses 1 and 7. Now, we read 1 a couple times already. Let's go over to verse 7. "I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished." So we need to be ready for trouble and intense persecution. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12 says this: "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. This is the way it is, and it's the way it has been down through history in both the Old and the New Testaments. We know as history comes to a close, opposition, persecution, suffering is going to escalate. These things are escalating right now, and even in our own country. So verse 1 says, a time is coming that will be worse than ever before. And indeed, the tribulation period is going to turn out to be worse than ever before. And verse 7 adds that this will be when the power of the holy people is shattered. This will be when all these things shall be finished. Trouble is on the way. It comes even now in the regular ebb and flow of our lives. We face trouble. Just look at your prayer sheet. Two sides full of the troubles of life. And so this is the flow of normal life in a broken, fallen world. That's the way it is in this sinful world. Such troubles are a foretaste of what will come at the time of the end. Even though we will not face the literal tribulation period as believers, it is essential that we purify and cleanse ourselves, being refined by the power of the gospel and the Holy Spirit. It is essential warfare equipment. We need to be ready. Don't get caught by surprise. I am afraid that many are going to get caught by surprise. The third mark of eschatological discipleship is count on God to rescue his people. Count on God to rescue his people. Again, we see this in verse number 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince who standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. So count on God to rescue his people. A time of unprecedented trouble is coming for Daniel's people, Israel. But Gabriel says, your people will be delivered. Their names are in the book of life. The Antichrist will rage against the holy people of God, and it's going to look very, very bad, but he will not be victorious. Deliverance is on the way. Be comforted because your names are written in the book of life. Your eternity is secure. Yes, the troubles are coming. Yes, for the tribulation saints, it's going to be bad. But their eternity, our eternity, is secure. The books are very, very important. The Word of God and the Lamb's Book of Life. God doesn't forget a thing. He will rescue his people. The fourth mark of eschatological discipleship is hope in the resurrection. Hope in the resurrection. Verse number 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Hope in the resurrection. One component of God's deliverance is our bodily resurrection. And the empty tomb of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ guarantees that. He is our guarantee. Verse 2 discusses this future hope in terms of a general resurrection, drawing a contrast between the righteous and the unrighteous. Resurrection Day is a separation day. It is a separation day. Everyone is going to be raised, some to eternal life, whose names are found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and those who die wicked and reject the Lord will be tossed into the lake of fire. Revelation 20, verses 14, 15, and Daniel 12, 2. These people, those people that we go to school with, that we go to work with, the people that we play with, that we joke with, that we marry, that we snub or take advantage of, are all immortal souls. Everybody we bump into out there in society, they have an immortal soul. Every day, we are helping them to arrive at one of two destinations, heaven or the lake of fire. We should never take that lightly. As we close out for this evening, I want to call to your attention some of the scriptures that I read at the most recent memorial service we had here at the church, where I lined up three books on a table. The three books that are going to be there at our judgment and the judgment of the wicked. The Bible, the Lamb's Book of Life, and the record, it's your book. Your book is going to be there. I want to share with you what the scriptures have to say about the first book, the Word of God. Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. John 12:48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Psalm 96:13, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. John 5:22, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. That's when the wicked dead are, they didn't do it now, but they're going to do it. They're going to bow down and say, yes, Jesus Christ, you are King of kings and Lord of lords. And then they will be gone to everlasting fire forever and ever. 2 Timothy 1, 7-9, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Matthew 24, verses 35 to 42. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord cometh. Matthew 7:21-23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, you that work iniquity. And I'm going to add Daniel 12:2 to that list that we read tonight. So that's the Word of God, the Bible. And then the Lamb's Book of Life. I'll just read one verse from that. Revelation 20:15, and whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. And then regarding our personal book, the angels or whoever is writing everything down that we ever say and did, they're keeping real good records. So what the Bible says about that, Matthew 12:36-7, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Ecclesiastes 12:14, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Revelation 20:11-15, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we, and now these pertain to us as believers. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad or useless. Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Now that is a treasure trove of powerful, scary scripture. And I'm going to keep on using this one at memorial services. That is good. I remember when I got to the last, our books, and I got done reading that, and I was walking back over here to give the invitation, I thought to myself, man, that is scary stuff. And that the Bible does tell us that we're going to have to get some people saved by scaring them to death. And the Word of God can do that. Some people can be won very easily. Sit down, share the gospel. Their hearts are already been prepared. They're ripe fruit for the picking. Then there are others who have hearts that are so hard. I wonder if that fellow that reads his prayers on his iPad before the Senate chamber. You see that guy? You see him? I wonder if he'd stand up and read this scripture in there, see what happens. They need to hear this. They need to hear this. Every single one of them needs to hear this kind of scripture. So as we're winding down this great book of Daniel, we can see that there are tough times a-coming. But praise God, as believers, we're not going into that tribulation. We're going to be out of here. And we're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb while all that's going on down here. And that is so good to know. So God is so good. He has a plan. He has shown us some of his plan. And so we rejoice in him and what he's going to do for all of us. Let us pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your goodness to us as your children. Thank you that we have come to the truth, that we have come to the knowledge of salvation, that we have accepted Christ. We believe in him for our salvation, his precious blood on the cross, and his resurrection from the tomb. We have repented of our sin, and we believe in you. And Father, we do pray for the countless number of souls on this planet that are outside the fold right now, and they are in the billions. And so we care about their souls. We pray for their souls. And we ask, Lord, that they would look up, that they would see the light, that they would understand the truth, that they would come to know Jesus as their Savior too. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.